Well, hey everybody, welcome to episode 76 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it's brought to you by our good friends at the Ankeny Office of Iowa Realty. They're located at 1802 Southeast Delaware, suite number 103. Iowa Realty is a proud sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic. They have 75 agents specializing in residential, commercial, farm, and land properties. Well, welcome to the first podcast of 2020. We are back in our home away from home at the Iowa Realty office today, and we always appreciate the hospitality of the folks over here. We'll be talking to a couple of former Ankeny Centennial athletes today. In a little while, we'll be visiting with a former Jaguar volleyball star who recently played in the NCAA tournament for the first time. But right now, I want to bring in my first guest. He just completed his career as a member of the Iowa State football team. He joined the Cyclones as a preferred walk-on in 2015, but he eventually earned a scholarship and was a two-year starter along the offensive line. He was a nominee for the 2019 Burlsworth Trophy, which is awarded to the most outstanding football player in America who began his career as a walk-on and has shown outstanding performance on the field. Of course, I'm talking about Colin Olson. Colin, thanks for coming in. How
are
you doing?
I'm good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, we're just 5 days removed from the Camping World Bowl in Orlando, which was your final game as a Cyclone. Has it sunk in yet that your career is over?
Not really yet, honestly. It's been weird the last couple of days, not really having to do anything, no workouts to go to. But, yeah, still a little weird, but getting used to it, getting the swing of things. So.
Well, I certainly want to ask you about some of your highlights from this season and from your career, but let's begin with the bowl game since that is fresh in everyone's mind. The game obviously didn't go the way you wanted it to. You guys lost Notre Dame 33-9. It just seemed like after those two early turnovers that you guys just couldn't recover from that. You know, would you agree?
Yeah, we definitely put ourselves in a hole there. It's always hard to dig out against a team that good after those situations. But, yeah, kind of self-inflicted, and like I said, a team that good, not much you can do when they get rolling.
Well, I know there was some concern about the offensive line going into the game because your most experienced lineman, Julian Good-Jones, was not able to play due to an injury. So right guard Josh Kniffel had to move to left tackle, and then Colin Newell was inserted in at right guard. You know, how much do you think the shuffling of the lineup impacted the game?
I don't know. That's a tough question to answer. I think that Josh stepped in and did a really good job at left tackle for not only moving from guard to tackle, but for moving from right to left. That's always a transition. That's a different hand down, a different stance. And I think Newell stepped up and made the transition from center like he'd been playing to right guard. I think they both exceeded expectations for him. And I think that they did everything they could for the team. And I was pretty proud of those guys for having the success that they did.
Well, you guys finished with 272 yards of total offense, which is well below your season average. But that Notre Dame defense probably had something to do with that. You know, they were pretty good, weren't they?
Yeah, they were. Big D-line, big linebackers, fast. They swarmed to the ball. And they played defense the right way. They played hard. They played fast. Really good team.
Well, how did their defense compare to the defenses you saw in the Big 12 this year? Was there anybody that was comparable to Notre Dame?
I can't really tell for the whole defense, but for the D-lines, I would compare them to Oklahoma. And, like, Oklahoma made the playoffs, so they're obviously a high-caliber team. Texas had a really good D-line too. So I'd say those three were all probably the three best that we played this year.
Yeah, that Texas D-line looked pretty good the other night, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. That was a pretty solid win for them. It's kind of surprising to me, but they got it done, and I'm happy for them.
Well, even when you guys, you know, did move the ball well at times, you bogged down in the red zone and had to settle for three Connor or Sally field goals. You know, and that was an issue in some other games as well, especially the Iowa game, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he definitely had some struggles throughout the year, but the best thing about him is every Monday back at practice, he had his head down. He's over kicking with all the guys, working on his craft pretty much. And, I mean, his dedication, you can see 3 for 3 with, I think, 2-plus 40-yard field goals. And so you can tell that he's got a bright future just the way he works, the way he's able to battle through adversity and correct the mistakes that he's made throughout the season and always just push forward for the team.
Well, what was going through your mind after the game? You know, was it kind of emotional knowing that, you know, it was the last time you were taking off your uniform?
Yeah, it was for sure. It was just really for me, I was just trying to talk to all my teammates, get around all my teammates, you know. It's the last time I'm going to be around those guys in a setting where we're all a family, I guess. I still love all those guys, but it's just I won't have as much time with them, obviously, because you don't really think about the weight room time and the locker room time that you're going to miss until it's gone. So I was just trying to get around those guys as much as I could and talk to them, leave some parting words with them. And we weren't really concerned about the result at the time. So I know they'll go back and correct their mistakes when the time comes, but in that moment it was kind of just being around my guys for the last time and giving advice and just sharing love, I guess.
Sure. We guys got to spend the whole week together down there in Orlando before the game. You know, what did you guys get to do for fun while you were down there?
We went to Universal for a day. That was fun. They had a Andretti's Park. It was like a sports go-kart place. We got to hang out with some kids from the Boys and Girls Club. That was probably the best part. A lot of guys got matched up with a young kid and kind of took them around, and that was a blast. And then, like I said, just hanging with the guys, being all in the same hotel. There was a game room. We had rooms we could, do stuff, play games, watch TV, whatever. Just hanging out with the guys for the last week of my career was probably the best part.
Now, did you have a lot of family and friends that come down for the game?
Yeah, I had all five of my immediate family, a couple aunts and uncles, and my grandparents came down. So, yeah, we had a good crew down there.
Well, now, they said on the TV broadcast that the crowd was pretty much a 50-50 split between the Iowa State and Notre Dame fans. But I saw some other posts on social media that made it look like, you know, the Cyclone fans were all over Orlando while the Irish fans were kind of hard to find. You know, what was your impression of the crowd down there? Did you see a lot of Cardinal and Gold down there?
Yeah, before the game, out and about, it did seem like a lot of Cardinal and Gold. When we got to the stadium, it did look about 50-50. So I don't know what the Irish fans were doing or what, but maybe Iowa State fans are just a little bit more rowdy, like to go out on the town a little bit more.
Well, of course, this was the third straight bowl game for the Cyclones, who finished the season with a 7-6 record. Now, you guys obviously raised the expectations for the program over the last three seasons, you know, but because of that, you know, there were some fans, I think, who were disappointed by the team's record this season. When you look back at it now, you know, how are you going to remember this season? You know, do you consider it a disappointment or maybe just one of missed opportunities?
Yeah, kind of. We did have a couple missed opportunities, but I'm not at all disappointed with the way this season turned out. My redshirt freshman year and freshman year, we combined won six games. So I'm not going to sit here and complain about seven wins. I mean, especially being in that locker room, seeing how we went to work every day. The coaches were doing everything they could to win. The players were doing everything they could to win. And just a couple things here and there cost us. And I'm not disappointed with the effort. I guess the result you can be disappointed with, but I'm not disappointed with the effort of our team or the drive of our team and the will to go every day to get better and put everything on the line for your teammates. So,
yeah, I'm sure if somebody had told you after that redshirt freshman season that you'd get to go to, you know, three bowl games in the next 3 years, you would have taken that on the spot, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that would have been a huge joke to me. I would have laughed right in their face.
All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. Gershman Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Gershman, the Midwest premier mortgage lender, is proud to be part of the Ankeny Fanatic Podcast. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home, vacation home, upgrade, or remodel an existing home, or refinance your current mortgage, Gershman Mortgage is here to help. With over 60 years in the mortgage industry, they have security, experience, and unmatched service. You can visit their Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit Gershman.com to get pre-approved today. Well, we're visiting with Iowa State offensive lineman Colin Olson. Well, Colin, you ended up starting the final 23 games of your career. You know, you entered this season firmly entrenched as the starter at right guard, but then after Colin Newell suffered an injury in the season opener against Northern Iowa, you were moved to center for the Iowa game, and then you stayed there the rest of the year. Was that a difficult adjustment for you, or had you been taking some reps at center just in case something did happen to him?
It was a little bit difficult just to kind of get the feel for commanding a game. I played center in practice a little bit, so the mechanics of it and stuff like that weren't too difficult. But just being in front of 60,000, knowing you're the commander of the offensive line, making calls and stuff and having the ball in your hand every play, getting used to that, it took a little while. Those first two games were, they were kind of rough a little bit on a couple snaps, a little high, a little low. But after that, it was pretty easy, pretty smooth transition, I thought. So,
well, yeah, obviously the biggest difference between those two positions is that you do have to snap the ball, you know, on every play. That alone right there increases the difficulty of the position, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's always just adds another dynamic to every play.
when you talk about being the commander of the line. So, like, pretty much on every play, are you calling out different signals or blocking schemes?
Yeah, calling out fronts, adjustments that we need to make, blocks that we got to perform, things like that.
All right. Well, you guys certainly had some big wins this year. You know, probably none bigger than the 23-21 victory over number 22 Texas on November 16th. You guys had a late drive in that game to set up a Connor Sally's game-winning 36-yard field goal as time expired. And that was the Cyclones' first walk-off win since 1983. So where does that win rank on the list of highlights in your career?
That one's up there for sure. That could be close to the number one spot. That whole game, it was a blast to play, being in it the whole time. I mean, just having to go that last drive and work to get in field goal range or score a touchdown, ended up in field goal range. And for Connor to hit that kick, that was big for us.
Well, of course, this season will also be remembered for some of the close losses. There was the 18-17 loss in the Cyhawk game. There was a 23-21 loss at Baylor, which was also decided by a late field goal. And then later, you guys dropped a 42-41 decision at number 9 Oklahoma that came down to a missed two-point conversion attempt with 24 seconds left. Now, after Brock Purdy threw that touchdown pass to Charlie Kohler to make it a one-point game, you know, was there ever any doubt that you guys were going to go for the win there?
There was no doubt. Knowing Coach Campbell, the way he likes to play football, he likes to hang it out on the line, and Coach Manning is the same way. So, honestly, I don't think if you go back on the film, I don't think anybody started even walking to the sideline. Everybody knew what we were going to do. We hadn't even talked about it, but everybody had the same feeling. So it's good to have that. I guess that connection with your coaches that
sure.
You know what they're doing and that you think the same way as them.
Now, I know it's always easy to second guess after the fact. You know, one school of thought in that situation was that, you know, you guys had all the momentum after coming back from 21 points down, you know, that maybe you should have kicked the extra point and taken your chances in overtime. But I know Coach Campbell said that, you know, you guys had the chance to put the ball in Brock's hands and go for the win right there. And I'm sure you'd take that opportunity every time, wouldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Ira Realty. Revive Clinic and Spa is also a sponsor of the podcast. Revive has a large menu of aesthetic procedures, including Botox, cosmetic fillers, hydrofacials, cool sculpting, laser hair removal, Forever Young Photo Facials, Halo, and a medically supervised weight loss program. Dr. Steph is now offering hormone pellet therapy for men and women. She has over 15 years of aesthetic experience and 30 years in the healthcare field. Her staff is top-notch and the best in the industry. They give every new patient a complimentary consult that includes a Visia skin analysis valued at $200. Revive Clinic and Spa is conveniently located at 1850 Southwest Plaza Shops Lane in South Ankeny by the new Hy-Vee. You can give them a call at 515-965-5677. Well, we've got a few more minutes here with Colin Olson. And Colin, I imagine that you'll continue to follow this program closely in the future. You know, with the talent that's coming back next year, do you feel like the Cyclones, you know, should be able to reach another bowl game and potentially, you know, contend for the Big 12 title?
Absolutely. I think every year that you have Brock Purdy under center and that defense, bunch of defensive guys coming back, you're able to contend for the Big 12 title. I think just the direction of the program is going in the right direction, and the way that we've built the culture there has given these guys the groundwork of how to work, how to go to eat, how to go to work out, how to do everything in their daily life to reach that ultimate goal. And I think it's closer than some Cyclones fans think.
Well, there's obviously some great pieces to build around. You mentioned Brock. You know, he has a chance to set about every Iowa State passing record there is by the time he finishes his career. You know, what's it been like to play with him? I know he was a captain this year as a sophomore. So is he a pretty good leader for the team?
Yeah, he is. It was kind of interesting to see the dynamic from being a true freshman to having him be in his second year. He kind of took control of the offense and was more involved in, I guess, motivating everybody, and he's more vocal as a leader. So that was good to see because, I mean, you want your quarterback to be the guy that can rally the troops because, I mean, he's got the ball in his hands every play, and he's the one out there that can make the biggest plays. So it's good to have a guy like that can make those plays and be a great leader.
Do you have any concerns at all about the offensive line? You know, since four of the five starters will have to be replaced, do you think this year's backups will be ready to step into those starting roles?
Absolutely. I'm not concerned at all. Just the way that those guys come to work every day, they came to work like they were starters last year. So just they're going to be ready to step up, I think. And if there's five guys that I have confidence in, it's the five guys that were the twos. I said earlier in the year we could have started probably seven or eight guys this year. So those guys will now get their chance to step into those roles, and I think they'll succeed greatly.
Well, of course, there's another Centennial lineman who will be joining the program in the fall, and that's Brady Peterson. You know, have you had a chance to talk to Brady much and to tell him, you know, about the things to expect when he gets to Ames?
Honestly, I haven't. I've seen him a couple times on visits, said hi to him, whatever. I haven't really had a conversation with him any longer than that, though. But I'm happy that he chose Iowa State. I think he was an Iowa State fan his whole life, so that's awesome for him, and it's good for the program, too.
Well, Brady seems to have all the physical tools, you know, to make that transition from the CIML to the Big 12. What do you think is going to be the biggest adjustment for him, you know, that he'll have to make?
I think just coming to work every day, I guess. That was the biggest adjustment for me. I think you kind of get there and you don't realize the work that it takes. And that first year I was there, I was getting my butt kicked in workouts and stuff like that and falling behind in some classes. So just kind of the daily struggle that you go through with balancing your whole life, football, academics, your social life, that'll probably be the biggest adjustment for any guy coming in. So
now, what are your future plans? Are you done with school yet?
Yeah, I graduated in December, so.
All right. Well, I believe you're a criminal justice major, right?
Mm-hmm, yep.
So are you planning to get into, you know, law enforcement in some aspect?
It depends. Right now I'm kind of just looking for any job, really. But I want to definitely work in a setting where I can work with people, and I know law enforcement is a big-time proponent of that. So we'll see what the future holds.
Now, I know you're not projected to be a first-round NFL draft pick or anything, but I'm certainly not going to be the one to tell you that you can't play on the next level. You know, have you thought at all about trying to play professional football somewhere?
Not really, no. I'm kind of, down with football, you know. I'm tired of being heavy, being 300 pounds, and having to go to work every single day, and the physical grind and the mental grind. And I've had the blessing of coming out healthy, so I kind of want to keep it that way. It's a very grinding and demanding sport, so I'm kind of excited to be done, but I will definitely miss the game for sure.
Well, of course, your former teammate Joel Lanning explored his pro options before eventually coming back to Iowa State and joining the staff as a quality control coach. You know, do you have any ambitions to stay connected to the game somehow?
I don't know yet. I did have a little bit of a coaching itch last year. Not as much anymore, but I definitely, no matter where I go, I'll be connected to the game for sure, whether it's as a fan, as a coach, whatever. I love the sport, so I'm going to stick around it any way I can.
Well, before I let you go, Colin, I just want to ask you for your prediction. Of course, Clemson and LSU will be playing for the national title on January 13th, so who do you got?
I got LSU, I think. They're just too good on offense to slow down, so I got them.
Yeah, they look like a juggernaut, don't they?
Yeah, they do, and they got that. They got a pretty nasty offensive line, so that's who I'm going with.
Well, Colin, it's been a pleasure to cover you throughout your career. One of my friends is a big Iowa State fan, and he told me to be sure to pass along his thoughts. He said, you know, how proud he is of everything that you've accomplished, and I would certainly echo those sentiments as well. So it's been fun to cover you throughout your career. Thanks a lot for all you've done.
Yeah, thanks a lot for all you've done too, Dan, for covering Ankeny and covering me, and we all appreciate you, so thanks.
You bet, man.
All right, listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. The Iowa Finance Authority 2019 Mortgage Credit Certificate Program can save Iowa homebuyers up to $2,000 on their federal taxes for the life of the loan for first-time homebuyers. This program awards a tax credit valued at 50% of the annual mortgage interest paid and is available annually as long as the home remains the buyer's primary residence. Dave Lewis of Home Services Lending and the Iowa Realty Ankeny office is a participating lender. You can call Dave at 515-321-5913 if you have any questions. He also has a variety of products and can handle all of your loan needs.
All right, well, my next guest is a former Centennial volleyball star who earned All-State honors while playing on three state championship teams with the Jaguars. She recently completed her freshman season at the University of Denver, where she helped the Pioneers to the Summit League Championship and an appearance in the NCAA tournament. She is Aerie Winters. Aerie, thanks for coming in. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you for having me.
How you bet. Well, congratulations on an outstanding season. You helped the team to a 23-9 record and placed fifth on the squad with 181 kills and 48 blocks. So it seems like you made a pretty smooth transition to the Division I level. You know, was it about what you expected?
Yeah, it was pretty similar in a way to the level of volleyball here in Iowa, playing against, like, Maddie Kubik with Kenna, Devin, all of them. It prepared me a lot for the competition and competitiveness just at the Division I level, so I was ready.
What do you think was the biggest adjustment that you had to make?
I think the time management and being so far away from home, that was pretty difficult. But, yeah, the time management for sure, it's such a hectic schedule, and that was a big transition once school started and everything, but it got a lot better.
Well, I know you did start some matches this year, but it looks like most of the time, you know, you're coming off the bench, which is something I'm sure you rarely, if ever, did during your high school and club career. You know, so was that an adjustment for you?
Yeah, well, I knew coming in I would have a role, but for a freshman to even play, their freshman year, it's incredible. It's very, I guess, not seen as much. So just to have the opportunity to come in and play was awesome, and I'm grateful for that, and that my coaches like believed in me, and yeah, it was good.
Well, you had a career high 13 kill performance against Purdue Fort Wayne on November 23rd. Of course, that was early in the season. Did that match kind of show you or give you the confidence that you could play on that level?
Yeah, for sure. Having that and our performance, I guess, for sure had the confidence to do it, and just knowing I can be at that level with all those girls was helping me a lot with my performance.
You guys ended up winning the Summit League Championship on your home court with a 3-1 victory over Omaha, and that earned an automatic bid to the NCAA tournament as well as clinched a sixth consecutive postseason appearance for the Pioneers. You know, how was the atmosphere in the arena that day? Was it pretty loud?
It was pretty loud. It was fun. Yeah, and having other teams also be there watch and just, like, show them what we're made of, and it was incredible, and my mom was there to watch too, which was fun, and having that support. So it was, yeah, incredible to be able to play in that atmosphere.
Now, I know your mom spent the last 4 years, you know, following Jaylee all over to her matches. So did she make it out there to a few of the matches?
Yeah, she made it out to Denver a lot, and all of our away matches were typically closer, like South Dakota, Illinois. So she was able to support on the road as well.
That's awesome. Well, your team then had the unenviable task of playing at number one seed Stanford in the opening round of the NCAA tournament. The defending national champs won that match by scores of 25-20, 25-11, and 25-15. What was that experience like?
Playing in Maples Pavilion, that was also a crazy feeling. Playing against, well, now the national champions, it was a little intimidating, but we really held our own and showed that we can play at that level and be, I guess, just as good. And I was really proud of my team for how they played too. And that first set, like, I thought we were going to honestly take it. We were really close with them. So it was kind of a confidence booster also going into the next season.
Well, you had 3 kills and 1 dig in that match. You know, were you happy with the way you played?
Yeah, you know, although I didn't have as many or more kills or whatever else, I think it was just a good team thing. And just being able to, help out in other ways, I guess.
Sure.
You know, like just energy-wise and all that. I thought I helped out with that. So.
Well, like you mentioned, Stanford went on to win, you know, its second straight national title, and that was the third in the last four seasons for the Cardinal.
Mm-hmm.
And they lost only 2 sets during the entire NCAA tournament, and both of those came in the Sweet 16 against Utah. You know, what is it about Stanford that makes them so good? Is it just their level of talent?
Yeah, they're huge. They have some 6'6" girls on their team, and it's hard to just hit around them and block them, I guess. They're just hitting over our block. But, yeah, they are just talented, and they work really hard, too. And they definitely deserve to win. They really showed it in all the games they played.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know Stanford's Catherine Plummer was named the National Player of the Year. You know, what was it like to play against her?
Yeah, it was cool to play against her and even get a few kills against how tall she is and some of the other players. So it's cool to know that I can be like playing against that or playing with them, but
sure.
Yeah, it was cool to see her, like, I guess in person too. She's a rock star.
Oh yeah. All right. Listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast sponsored by Iowa Realty. Gerstmann Mortgage is also a sponsor of the podcast. Whether you're looking for your first home or refinancing your existing loan, Gerstmann Mortgage has an expert to assist you. They can help you find the right mortgage to meet your personal needs. When you are buying your starter house, moving to a larger home, aging in place, or looking to refinance, Gerstmann Mortgage will be there every step of the way. You can visit their Ankeny office, call 515-964-5952, or visit Gerstmann.com to get pre-approved today. Well, we're visiting with Denver volleyball player Ari Winters here for a few more minutes. And, of course, Ari, your former Centennial teammate Kenneth Sauer also got to play in the NCAA tournament for the first time as a freshman at Missouri. You know, did you guys compare what your experiences were like?
Yeah, we talked about it. They were for sure very similar, just the adjustment to the Division I level. And she had a great time there. It was weird not being able to play with her this first season in a very long time, but she's enjoying it a lot, and I'm glad to see her successes there as well, and I know she'll do great things there as well.
What area, where do you feel like you improved your game the most this season?
I think, well, technically wise, I think my blocking for sure got a lot better. They really worked with us because defense is kind of how you win games. So, yeah, blocking, I worked on that a ton, and it got so much better by the end of the season. And I'm really glad with that and hope to keep getting better at it.
Now, did you get a chance to play all over the court this season, or were you typically used just in certain rotations?
I was typically just front row. There were some rotations where I got pulled back and serve received. And at the beginning, a few matches I played all the way around, but for the most part, it was just front row.
Okay. Well, I'm sure one of your goals is to eventually be able to play, you know, mm-hmm. all around, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I know most of your team's top hitters will be back next year, so do you feel like, you know, the squad is going to have a lot of potential going into next year?
Yeah, I think so. And the class coming in, there's some really good talent there. But, yeah, I think we can do even more things, go second round in the NCAA tournament. I think we definitely have that potential.
Well, as far as school goes now, what are you majoring in?
I took some business classes. I'm not really sure yet. So I'm probably going to go the business route because it's a major that you can use in anything. So
sure.
I want to do that, yeah.
Well, you got time to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where's the campus located at in Denver? Is it right downtown or is it outside the city a little bit?
It's outside the city a little bit. There's still definitely kind of the city life. It's very busy. It's in a place, it's by Cherry Creek. I don't know. Probably don't know it, but it's just like a little side part of Denver.
Gotcha. So what's the best thing about living in Denver? You know, were you able to get out and enjoy some of the things that the city has to offer?
Yeah, like on off days, me and a few other teammates, we'd go to the mountains, just drive down there and kind of relax, unwind. You know, it was a just to see all the scenery. It's amazing. Definitely different from Iowa.
Oh, sure. Now, do you ski at all, or maybe you're not allowed to?
I've skied before, but I want to try and ski again. We'll see if my coaches let us. Haven't asked yet.
All right. Well, I saw where you went overseas last month to visit Jaylee, who, of course, is playing professional volleyball in France. You know, so how was your trip?
It was amazing. I hadn't been to Europe before, and seeing it was great, and getting to watch Jaylee play volleyball again was really special, too. And her playing professionally, it kind of, like, warmed my heart to see how, like, great the great things she's doing, and hopefully I can do someday.
Well, where all did you guys go? You guys went to Rome, didn't you?
She went to Rome. I went to Barcelona with her, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I went to Barcelona, and then when I went home, she went to Rome.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Well, I haven't talked to Jaylee since before she left for France, you know, but I know she was really looking forward to going over there. You know, how does she like it over there?
She loves it. She wants to stay in France as long as she can and not have to start an actual job. But, yeah, she loves it. It's a great place, I guess. It's a great place to live. It's beautiful.
We kind of just mentioned this, but I guess eventually you can maybe see yourself doing something like that?
Yeah. Already having the kind of experience being far from home in Denver, I think I could. It would be different going like an 8-hour flight away, but yeah, I think I could see myself doing it, and it would be great. Hopefully, maybe even play with Jaylee if she's willing to keep playing for that long.
Yeah, I'm guessing she might be around for a few more years.
Hopefully, yeah.
Well, Ari, thanks a lot for coming in today, and thanks a lot to your whole family for coming to my birthday party last weekend.
Yeah, no problem.
You bet. Well,
thank you.
Good luck next year.
Thank you.
You bet.
All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Iowa Realty. Iowa Realty is very proud and fortunate to have Home Services Lending, Iowa Title, Midland Title and Escrow, and Home Services Insurance as part of their one-stop shopping model. They're able to help you buy and sell anywhere in the state of Iowa. They can also help you, your family, and friends who are moving from anywhere to anywhere in the world through their business affiliates. If you would like information on how to become a realtor, you can call Mike Stanbro at 453-5350, or you can email Mike at mikestanbro, that's S-T-A-N-B-R-O-U-G-H, at iowarealty.com. I want to thank my guests, Ari Winters and Colin Olson, again for coming in today. And I apologize for the technical difficulties. Apparently, one of our sets of headphones I don't think was working quite the way it was supposed to. So I'm not sure if my voice is going to sound as good as it should on the podcast today. So I apologize for that. But anyway, come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.